You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On College Football. He is Kevin McGuire. Locked On Nittany Lions. I'm Matt Mastona. Locked On LSU. Congratulations, my friend. Your week is finally here to join the rest of the free world loving college football.
Man, it feels like it's been a long time. And it's because it has been a long time. And, you know, I'm sitting here on my couch and I'm watching all the college football I can because I am a college football junkie, as we have discussed on this podcast before. But yeah, now I really feel like I get to be involved and I get to be sitting at the grown-ups table finally after all these long weeks and months of waiting and anticipation. Yes, the Big Ten is back this week. I know a bunch of the Big Ten hosts on here, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're all doing terrific jobs out there, and we're all excited to finally join the fray and pull up a seat because it's going to be fun.
You can get up from the Fisher-Price plastic fold-out table with the kids with your plastic fork and come to the adult table, and we can talk some college football. So I know for me, all right, not Ohio State, because that's what everybody's talking about. And I'm not going to ask you the question of who's the biggest threat, whatever. What's the most interesting storyline in the Big Ten that's not Ohio State?
I actually think there's a pretty good amount of depth here. And I think that there are some programs that have certainly taken some steps forward, certainly from last year. And I think that there are a couple programs that are worth keeping an eye on, as I think they're going to bounce back a little bit. And really, if you look at the Big Ten West, it's going to get overshadowed many times, especially nationally. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin's been a very solid program. I think Minnesota probably has a limited window for success, but I think this is going to be one of those years where they can do some pretty fun things. Once again, they can make some noise. Iowa's always going to be kind of consistent. I think Northwestern had a terrible year last year with injuries, but I think getting Peyton Ramsey, the transfer quarterback from Indiana, that's going to solve a big problem that they had last year. So I do think that Northwestern's going to be better, and they're a pesky team. And then Illinois obviously found a little bit momentum, and they've got some good recruiting. Lovie Smith hopefully is going to have some things continuing to work in their favor as they continue to grow this year. And Purdue, getting Rondell Moore back, I mean, that makes Purdue that much more dangerous as long as he's healthy. That's the big question, which obviously hurt them last year. So, yeah, I think there are some programs that are definitely worth an entertainment value going into the season. Certainly, you're going to see some programs continue to grow, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching that.
You didn't even mention Minnesota. And that seems for many to be like the potential biggest threat among the Big Ten. I'm interested in Nebraska just because they rocked the boat so much. And I applaud them for doing it, because let's be real, man. If Nebraska didn't stand up and rock the boat to the degree they did, they don't rally the support, and there probably isn't a Big Ten season. So the Big Ten rewarded them by saying, all right, great, you get to go play Ohio State week one, jerks. Yeah. And so we'll see how that goes. But but I am interested.
Real quick, Nebraska rocks the boat. Minnesota rows the boat.
Well, that's
so. Okay. There might be a little bit of a trademark infringement there, but yeah, I would agree. I did not mention Nebraska, and that is certainly a team that's going to draw a lot of attention this year.
For me, and look, also year three, Scott Frost. I mean, the great run at UCF. A lot of people thought last year might have been the year with Adrian Martinez back that they would take the leap. They didn't. They only win 5 games. You got Martinez back again now. Let's see if this is it. They'll be interesting. But for me, I got a lot of you feel about it, Kev. But for me, I look at Michigan and I go, I keep wondering for Jim Harbaugh, right? If not now, when? And, you know, people forget this, but a year ago, Michigan had, just this spring, had 10 players taken in the NFL draft. A tie for the second most behind LSU. Michigan has had talent, man. Like, they have had Sunday players on that roster, and they've not put it together. And, you know, I look now and people say, well, Harbaugh's never had the quarterback. Well, they thought they had him with Shea Patterson, and clearly it didn't materialize. Well, now you got Joe Milton, and this is like the athletic freak, right? 6'5", 240, and can do a standing backflip. Okay, well, is this finally the guy that's going to be that transcendent offensive talent under center that's going to bring Michigan back to prominence and glory and beat Ohio State? And I don't know if he is, man. I don't have a strong feeling until I see a guy play on Saturdays. I can't watch high school film and tell you if I think that guy is going to be a dominant college athlete. But, man, I'm just really interested to see if he can be, because I know in this part of the country there's Alabama fatigue, and it's why there was so much interest in LSU last year, kind of catching lightning in a bottle and having that great season. I think in probably in Big Ten country there's a lot of Ohio State fatigue and people wondering, okay, who's going to step up and challenge them instead of all of us just being the little brothers? And I'm curious if Michigan can be that team this year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Michigan does this year, because I feel like a lot of people, more so this year than in recent years, a lot of people seem to be overlooking Michigan, or I don't know if it's disrespecting Michigan, or just for saying, you know, it's time for Michigan to actually own up and
yes.
prove something.
It's like,
and I think
it's same with Notre Dame. It's like, we put you here every year, and every year you disappoint us. At some point, like, it's no longer your fault, it's our fault. Like, I think that's where people are with Michigan.
And I think that's fair. I really do, because Jim Harbaugh has been there how many years? The big question mark has been that quarterback position. Maybe that answer is going to be provided this year. We'll see. But it's just one of those things where, you know, we have seen, you know, Michigan has had some really good seasons. They've just missed out on a Big Ten championship twice, which probably kept them out of the college football playoff 2 years. A lot of people seem to forget that, how close they actually were. So it's not like they've been completely irrelevant, but they haven't gotten over that next hurdle. And that's the big thing. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, because that big hurdle is Ohio State. And if you look and listen to the Locked On Big Ten podcast and all the other Big Ten shows we have on the Locked On Podcast Network, I think we're all in pretty much a pretty good unison that Ohio State's going to be pretty tough this year. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot there, but this is an important year for Michigan. And I say, don't sleep on them, because they can win some of the games. They've got a difficult schedule. They got to play Minnesota. They got to play Wisconsin. They got to play Penn State and Ohio State, of course, in division play. It's not going to be an easy schedule, but it's certainly one where Michigan could win some of those games. And if they do, that's going to start to change a little bit of the overall outlook, I think, for Michigan as they get deeper into the season. And who knows, maybe they'll be playing Ohio State for the Big Ten East on that final day of the regular season. I think it's a lot to ask for, but I do think that if you're sleeping on Michigan, you're probably unwise, because they will have players there. They do have some question marks across their roster, but there's one thing, like you said, Jim Harbaugh has brought in talent. It's just a matter of putting it all together on the field. That's been kind of holding them back to a certain degree, especially in those big moments.
All right, so we will preview Michigan and the rest of the Big Ten in our Week 8 preview coming up, but no matter where you are watching this weekend, make sure you have an ice-cold Coors Light in your hand. When you need to unwind, choose Coors Light. When you need to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. It's in the 80s in South Louisiana. So if you need a physical feeling of chilling, make it an ice-cold Coors Light. You're part of the country. Temp's probably dipping a little bit. It's a perfect time to grab a Coors Light.
Look, right now, right here in Pennsylvania, is perfect shorts and long sleeve t-shirt weather for me, and the leaves are changing color. It's a nice, cool, refreshing outlook for the season of fall. And really, now that Big Ten football is here, I know a lot of Big Ten fans are looking forward to just getting to the end of this week, sitting back, chilling on their couch, and watching some Big Ten football this weekend. And what better way to do that than popping open a nice, cool, refreshing Coors Light, because it is the official drink of watching your favorite team on TV. And I think a lot of people are going to be doing that this weekend. And if you don't have your fridge stocked up with Coors Light, don't worry. You can go to get.coorslight.com and you can arrange to get Coors Light delivered right to you with contactless delivery. So what better, what more could you ask for this time of year than that?
Beer delivered to your door. Get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com. Remember to celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And of course, we always love telling you about our friends at Rock Auto as well. Rock A-U-T-O, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Like you told me, you got windshield wipers at rockauto.com?
I did. I needed them a few weeks ago, and I figured, you know, you usually go to one of those big box stores that's right around the corner, but, you know, not that they're all that expensive to buy wipers, but I found out they're actually a lot cheaper to get them right through rockauto.com. That's because they're a family business. They've been doing this for a long time. They know what it takes to satisfy the customers with all the car needs that they need for the car or truck. And the best way to go about finding what you need is just go to their website, rockauto.com. You enter the make and model of your car or truck. Brings you up the entire catalog of everything that they have available for your vehicle. And I got a tip for you, okay? Insider tip right here. Do that right now. Go to rockauto.com, enter your make and model of your car, bring up the entire catalog, bookmark it. Put that in your bookmarks on your web browser, and you have that easy access to that every time you need it. And of course, that is a nice reference to have anytime you're in need of something. So rockauto.com, check out all the parts available for your car or truck. Remember to write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you.
Amazing selection, reliably low prices, rockauto.com. Rolling along here on Locked On College Football, presented by Rock Auto. Kevin and Matt with you on the week that the Big Ten returns. We will get to the entire slate of games this weekend that we'll preview in our final segment. But how about an installment of As the COVID World Turns? It's kind of incredible how we've got so many on-field storylines, but the COVID subplots that have added intrigue to this season continue to magnify. There's so many things I want to talk about. First, how about Florida shutting down its football operations until at least Monday? The number of positive tests as far as the roster, up to at least 26 right now. Then you have contact tracing. It's understanding why Florida had a shutdown. I don't know that this is a gigantic surprise to me. What is maybe more of a surprise is people who see this and think, well, this is evidence that they're not going to make it through a season. I guess I look at it the other way, Kevin. I mean, I just realize that all of the decision makers are all in at this point, and they're finding a way. I mean, the Big Ten has found a way with their schedule. We've had 90% of the scheduled games played already. And then you look at Florida. I mean, the SEC shifted four different games, affected eight teams' schedules to be able to make up for this here. So it feels less like the sky is falling and more like they're committed to making it happen however it needs to happen.
Yeah, and I think we all kind of understood that when the decisions were being made that a football season was going to be played, that there were probably going to have to be some adjustments and precautions, and there were going to be some alternative plans that were going to have to be ready to unfold at any given moment. And we have certainly seen that across the country. Every conference has had some kind of schedule adjustment. It's going to be very interesting now with the Big Ten getting involved with 8 weeks or 8 weeks to play eight games. Mm-hmm. I highly doubt that they're going to be the first conference to get through everything without an issue. Just this week, Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm tested positive. He's not going to be coaching this season opener this weekend. So, this is going to be very, very something that you should be watching very closely, I should say, because no conference is going to get through unscathed here as far as their schedule is concerned and as far as the testing is concerned. It's good to have the testing. It's good to have all these precautions. And I do feel like, we're at a stage now where we have all the testing and medical treatment that we can possibly have at this point. And I've always said, if you feel comfortable putting out a football product and you think it's successful or you can roll it out, there's no harm in trying it. If you get to a point where you do have to shut it down, it's a tough decision, but if you have to make it, you have to make it. But fortunately, we haven't crossed that negative bridge just yet, but it is something to watch as it's all continuing on a week-by-week basis. You just never know who's going to be out there, who's not going to be out there.
So speaking of that, there are players removing themselves. This week, we saw two pretty prominent players within their programs opt out. Puka Williams, the all-Big 12 running back from Kansas, and DeMonte Coxey, the All-American Athletic. You have to say All-American Athletic. You can't just say All-American because, he's not All-American.
Right.
He's All-American Athletic Conference-wide receiver from Memphis, has opted out as well. And, Kevin, this was one thing that I was going to be very interested to see as the season went along, is if teams in a weird COVID year started losing and maybe their big-picture objective, a conference title, a bowl game, whatever it might be, was removed from them, from consideration, do you have players as the season go along choose to opt out? And we saw back in 2016 with Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, they kind of made it in vogue for guys to opt out of bowl games. And now we see it every year. It took the first person to do it to show that it's okay. This year in the preseason, we saw guys opt out because of COVID, and then more and more did. These are the first two mid-season to opt out now, and I'm thinking this becomes the next trend, that as you move through the rest of October, November, if teams are losing or whatever the case may be, I think you're going to see more players choose to say, all right, I'm out. I'm just going to go start getting ready for the draft.
Yeah, we sort of saw this last year with D.R. King when he was at Houston. You know, Houston gets off to a bad start, and he decides that he's going to redshirt the rest of, or use that redshirt for the rest of the season. Now, obviously, he's at Miami doing his thing there. But yeah, it is very interesting, especially this year. I think with so many concerns about health status and health of individuals, health of family members, a lot of risks that could potentially be involved with playing football and just be among a mass of people. I get the concerns, and you're never going to hear me criticize any player for deciding to opt out for what's in his best interest, whether it's health related or financially related. Doesn't matter to me. You do what's best for you. I've always said that. But it is obviously something that it goes back to what we were saying. you figured this was going to happen, right, this season. So you better have some backup plans ready to go on a week-by-week basis because, like I said, you don't know who's going to be available to you, whether they have to sit out because of the virus or if they have to sit out because of contact tracing or they just choose to leave your program entirely. This is going to be a very tough year for every coach out there just managing a roster. It's hard enough as it is in normal circumstances. It's even more difficult so this year.
And it's hard for administrators as well that are trying to figure out budgets. And we always have the silly season at the end of the year, right? The coaching carousel and coaches getting fired. And there's been this gigantic question of if there would be as many firings this year because in a lean financial year, athletic departments may not want to pay buyouts, right? That's been a thought for many that there may be fewer firings in a less busy, off season because of that. Not so much. Tennessee fires defensive line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh 4 games into the season. They lose this past week. They fire him. They owe him $800K. So Tennessee fires its defensive line coach 4 games into the season, and they're going to pay him $800K not to coach in a year where everybody's budget has been completely mutilated, where teams are cutting sports and furloughing employees, and Tennessee's like, nah, we need a new defensive line coach, man. $800K, take a walk, bro. I wonder if that's going to be and the Tennessee defensive line coach isn't going to get major national attention, but I am interested if that's going to be an indicator of what happens come December if you see some of these coaches with enormous buyouts, like a Gus Malzahn with a $21 million buyout. Like, does he survive a 3 or 4 win season because he's got a $21 million buyout? I think that's going to be a gigantic question come December.
Yeah, absolutely. I still think you're going to see plenty of assistant coaches lose their jobs because they're not making quite the same kind of cash that these head coaches are. I think head coaches are probably going to be a little bit more safer than they've ever been in this round of the coaching carousel. So it's good to be a coach like Clay Helton or Gus Malzahn probably this year if things don't go so well. Certainly they're all going very well for Gus Malzahn. So I think that's certainly a different category from some of these position coaches and coordinators. Obviously some coordinators are making some big money right now these days too, but position coaches, they're much more expendable. And I think that you can find a defensive line coach and you can afford that cost, especially more so in these power conferences that have the big giant revenues. Obviously the revenues are still going to be slashed compared to what they're typically accustomed to. So budgets are going to have to be adjusted accordingly, but a school in like Tennessee in the SEC is still going to be getting significantly more than a coach like, or a program like UCF or Cincinnati or Boise State. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those dynamics play out in these power conferences, especially the ones that make the big money, like the Big Ten, and the SEC, compared to the Mountain West and the MAC, which is also coming back soon. So it's going to be very difficult for a lot of programs, more so in the Group of Five and below that.
And that is another installment of As the COVID World Turns. This is Locked On College Football, presented by Rock Auto. Kevin and Matt, we'll be back to preview Week 8 in college football, including the Big Ten slate, on Locked On College Football, presented by Rock Auto. Wrapping up another edition here of the Locked On College Football podcast, presented by Rock Auto. Kevin McGuire, Locked On Nittany Lions. I'm Matt Moscona from Locked On LSU. And we always wrap up by previewing the weekend ahead in the college football slate. And Kev, I know you're pumped. It involves the Big Ten. Let's start with the game on Friday night, which gets it started. Illinois is at Wisconsin. And while that may not be a great matchup, it was a year ago, that may not be a great matchup. Damn it, it's Big Ten football. I know you're fired up for it.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights in Madison, Wisconsin. Obviously, no fans in attendance at Big Ten games this year other than family members for these players. So that's kind of cool to see. But looks like it's going to be a little bit of a rainy night, too. So I don't know if the weather conditions are going to be the most ideal for the start of Big Ten football. But you know what? What better way to have Big Ten football than chilly, inclement weather in mid-October? So I say, yeah, Wisconsin revenge game situation, if you will, against Illinois. I think Wisconsin's certainly going to be a pretty good team this year. So I see no problem there. Do have a question at quarterback. Jack Cohn, he's actually injured, so he's not going to be starting this year, or at least to start the season for Wisconsin. So we'll see. Badgers, though, they're just going to run the football. They'll be fine.
Nebraska at Ohio State's one we alluded to earlier. Ohio State's a 26-point favorite in this game. I really think, of course, Ohio State, I picked to win this game. I think this is a year where Scott Frost, veteran quarterback, does elevate that program, and they got a lot to play for, obviously, considering they stuck their neck out to get this done, but I don't think they'll have enough to beat Ohio State in the horseshoe.
No, absolutely not. Ohio State's going to be on a mission this year, week in and week out. They're going to take out a lot of teams along their way. Nebraska's just going to be the first sacrificial lamb on the way to a potential Big Ten championship run for the Buckeyes.
Four ranked-on-ranked matchups this weekend. Noon Eastern, NC State ranked 23rd back in the rankings. They're on the road at North Carolina, coming off the disappointing loss at Florida State last weekend. Does North Carolina bounce back?
Yeah, I think so. I do think that NC State's certainly been a more improved team than I was anticipating this year, but I trust Mac Brown and the Tar Heels to rebound off of an ugly loss last week at Florida State. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think this North Carolina team is too good to allow that to happen. Obviously, a big setback for them last year, but I think they get back on track, back at home this weekend against the rival NC State.
Reality is North Carolina was never the fifth best team in the country, but they are where they should be, right there, maybe the lower teens, and I think they win as well. Let's jump into the afternoon slot in the Big 12, where you have another ranked-on-ranked matchup. It's Iowa State at Oklahoma State, and this one's massive for the Big 12, Kevin, because Oklahoma State is the last remaining unbeaten team in the Big 12, and really their last hope for a college football playoff berth.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Even if Iowa State happens to run the table, I think it's going to be pretty tough for them to get into any college football playoff discussion at the end of the year, the way things seem to be going. But yeah, Oklahoma State's not a bad team. And if they get their quarterback situation back in running here, so they should be okay. So I do think that Oklahoma State's certainly going to play well at home. I think they're running the football. It's going to be a good defensive test, though, because Iowa State can play some defense. If it's a low-scoring game, I tend to favor Iowa State a little bit on the road, but I like Oklahoma State this weekend. I think they managed to get by this one with a good hard-fought win. It's close spread, and I think it's right on target.
I think we'll have disagreement. I think Iowa State goes on the road and gets the win, and that dashes the Big 12's hope for any hope for a playoff. Back in the Big Ten, Penn State, number 8 in the country preseason. They're on the road at Indiana. Indiana's a little bit maybe of a sneaky pick here. Penn State just a 6.5-point road favorite. You got any nervous anxiety about this one for your Nittany Lions?
I think this is a tough opening spot for Penn State because Indiana is going to be a fun team offensively. They typically play better when they are home against in Bloomington. And Penn State, of course, is not going to be with Journey Brown, star running back from last year that broke on the scene. He is out potentially for the entire season with an undisclosed health-related issue. We don't know exactly what that is, but either way, Penn State's running game is still going to be in good shape. They've got some good running backs. Sean Clifford back as the starting quarterback. He can also run a little bit. New offensive coordinator, Kirk Soroka. It's going to be very interesting to see how this Penn State offense comes together. I think that Penn State is still a better team. They're still going to be a very good team this year. Just not having Journey Brown is a little bit of a question mark. But I do think they go on the road and get out of Indiana with the win. That's all they can do. They cannot look ahead to what's coming up in week two. Big game against Ohio State. But it's going to be a good opening test for Penn State because it's a tough road spot for them to open up the year because this Indiana team is going to be dangerous. They can catch somebody this year. They could potentially catch Penn State. I don't think they do, but I do think that they play a good four-quarter game against the Nittany Lions.
I'll take Penn State as well. Staying in the Big Ten, the third of four ranked games on the weekend is Michigan at Minnesota. 33 degrees at kickoff. So much for season opening weather. This is full-fledged Big Ten weather from jump. College game day will be there, number 18 against number 21. I mentioned wanting to see Joe Milton. I think this is a spot for Michigan to go on the road and get a win. Reluctantly, I'm going to pick them in this spot, Kevin, but I'm not a huge row the boat believer. I respect very much what PJ Fleck is doing and has done with that program. But I think Michigan, bigger, stronger, faster, better athletes, I think they win, even with all that Minnesota returns.
I tend to agree with everything you said, except I think Minnesota does get the win. I think this is just a good back-and-forth game. I really do. This can go either way, and you can tell that by the spread. You know, Michigan is a slight favorite. I'm actually a little surprised. I thought Minnesota would be the favorite.
Yeah.
So, you know, that tells me that there's just a lot of money that typically gets placed on Michigan anyway, so maybe that's influencing it a little bit. But, you know, like I said earlier, this Michigan team is going to be good. Don't sleep on them. But I do think that Minnesota gets it done with Tanner Morgan, Rashad Bateman back at wide receiver, opting back in. That's big news for Minnesota. I think they start the season on a winning note for the Gophers, and they row the boat on, I don't know if you can row a boat on a frozen lake, but they're going to try. They'll give it a shot.
Glide your boat on a frozen lake. All right, so we have disagreement there as well. It's going to be interesting next week to go through some of these. The fourth and final of the ranked-on-ranked matchups is an undefeated matchup in the American Athletic Conference, and this is one, along with BYU, both are nightcaps, by the way, that could very much potentially influence the New Year's Six group of five play in there. Cincinnati in Dallas against SMU. Do you have a lean?
Yeah, I'm leaning SMU at home. I really like this offense. I think it's really come together. Shane Bichelle, I think, has just found a really good landing spot when he transferred out of Texas. You know, certainly putting up some big numbers. And Cincinnati, I don't know what to expect out of them because they obviously had the disruption with the COVID-19 situation that they had to go through. So I don't know exactly if they are in full sync coming off of that. So I think going on the road to play this SMU team, that's not a good spot to be in. I think SMU routes them and makes a big statement for a big victory in the AAC.
It's a good point about the disruption. SMU's already played five games. Cincinnati's played just three. Bichelle, Sonny Dykes, they kind of have it rolling there at SMU. I'm with you. I'm on the ponies in that one as well. And almost out of obligation, I'll go ahead and mention LSU that hosts South Carolina. LSU is going to be without Miles Brennan, their fourth-year junior quarterback who tore a muscle in his abdominal this week. Or against Missouri, I should say, they'll be without him. They'll start a true freshman quarterback, most likely Max Johnson, the son of former Super Bowl quarterback Brad Johnson with the Bucks. I'm a little surprised LSU's a touchdown favorite in this ball game. I don't know that Vegas is going to learn their lesson that this is an LSU team that hasn't quite figured out what it is and how to win ball games. Maybe a letdown spot for South Carolina coming off the big win over Auburn now having to go on the road? Maybe all I can think of?
Look, it's no matter what LSU is, it's very tough to go into that stadium and come away with a victory, especially when you're a team like South Carolina. You don't have a whole lot of talent there. Obviously, you're doing some good things. You obviously had a big win last week against an Auburn team that is also going through their own struggles. So yeah. You know, Auburn's not exactly all that they were made up to be by some in the preseason, myself included. I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty of that. But I do think that this is a good spot for LSU for a rebound. I think South Carolina going on the road, still not a whole lot to work with the Gamecocks. And LSU is not exactly the same team they were last year, Matt. I don't need to tell you that, but I do think that they're going to manage to get a win this weekend.
We will never see again what they were a year ago, which was just, like we said earlier, lightning in a bottle. Doesn't mean you can't win and win at an elite level again, but win like that, oh man, that was something else. It is the Locked On College Football Podcast brought to you by Rock Auto. Be sure you're following Locked On Nittany Lions with Kevin McGuire and Locked On LSU with me, Matt Moscona. We appreciate it. Kevin, enjoy your Big Ten weekend, my friend. I'm glad you have Big Ten football back.
I'm glad, too. I'm really looking forward to it. It's just going to be fun to enjoy the same stuff that everybody else has been enjoying for the last couple of months. But, yeah, now that we're all basically on the same page, all that's left is for you guys, Pac-12, and I guess the MAC, you're right around the corner, too. But we'll talk about you guys when you come across the line.
And we'll be here to do it. Locked On College Football, your team every day.